Here on the top of Daf Samach Ches Omid Beis, 9 lines down from the top, Neima Kasova Ravina. So what we've established before is that according to Ravina, as he embellishes the words of Rab Shim Bar Yochai, Darshaning Ki Yosser is Bincha Me'achorai, that Ben Bitcha Habom and Ovdei Kochavim is Kori Bincha. Which means that if you marry off your daughter to a guy, then the son that's born from that marriage is Dino Ki Yisrael, and therefore the Torah was Choshesh for Yosir as Bincha. His name of Kasover Avino, Ove Kochavim, the Eved HaBal Bas Yisrael. So you have a marriage between a guy and a Bas Yisrael. And the possibility would be that the child would be miyuchas to his father and therefore would be a goy. And if that be the case, then that child as a goy could be misgayer and he would be a regular ger. Well, the only thing is that here Ravina is saying just the opposite, that the child of this marriage, this intermarriage between a goy and a bas Yisrael, is actually miyuchas to his mother, his Jewish mother. However, of course, there is a drawback here, because although he's born Jewish, but nevertheless, he's a mamzer, havlad mamzer. Because the third principle of our Mishnah was that when there's no tefisas kedushin, and there's an avera, the vlad is a mamzer. So this marriage between a goy and a bas Yisrael, which is clearly ein kedushin tofsin, and yet it's a marriage by avera, the vlad is a mamzer. So that's the conclusion that we get from Ravina. So the Gemara wants to reject this. Nehi de kosher lohavi mamzer lohavi, but rather posel mikri. The Gemara wants to suggest that according to Ravina, the vlad of this marriage between a goy and a bas Yisrael is ki'imo. He's certainly not a kosher because he was born by Vera, but on the other hand, he's not a mamzer. You don't say that simply because there was no tefisas kedusha between the father and the mother, the goyish father and the Jewish mother, therefore the vlad is a mamzer. In other words, this is not like the case of Ein Kedushin Tofsin, Bechaye Arayos, Bechaye Krisus and Arayos. Here, there's a different reason for Ein Kedushin Tofsin, and that's not enough to engender Mamzeris, but rather it's a Psul. And Rashi explains, not here, but in Masechta Yevamos, that means the child is Posul Lekahuna. That's the sugya that we started yesterday. At this point, the Gemara goes back to the derivation, the alfusa, from the pasuk that there are no kedushin tofsin in a non-Jew. And in the case where the mother is not Jewish, the father is Jewish, the vlad has the status of a goy like his mother. And now the Gemara wants to know, how are you going to derive this from the Pasuk? You may remember that we derived it from the Pasuk, Lo tischatein bam, that there is no chasnus, and v'chi yosir, the Pasuk says, es bincha me'acharai, there's no tfisus kedushin begoyim, the ben is miyuchas to his mother, who in this case is not Jewish. So the Gemara asks, Hahu, these psukim b'shiva goyim ksiv. The psukim are referring to the Knanim, and in that context, it's possible to argue that if the Noshim, these non-Jewish women that the Torah is referring to, are from these seven nations that occupy the land of Canaan, then the Torah says that there's no tefisas kedushin, but shar umos, but the nations outside the land, minolan, how do we know that ain't kedushin tofsin? And the Gemara answers, Omar Kra, the Torah says, with regard to the Iser of marrying a woman from the seven nations, and Ein Kiddushin Tovsin, that the reason for that is Ki Yosir as Bincha Me'acharai. And this explanation that the Torah offers is L'Rabos Kol HaMesirin, any of the nations of the world that will cause Hasoras Habona Me'achori Hashem, which means that there won't be Tfisis Kiddushin. The Gemara says Hanicha L'Rab Shimon. This depends upon a machlokes between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon in Masechet Bab Metzia about whether Darshin and Taim of the Kra or Lo Darshin and Taim of the Kra. Rabbi Shimon is committed to the position that Darshin and Taim of the Kra, and even if the Torah doesn't explicitly reveal the reason for a mitzvah, for an avera, is nevertheless, we can come up with our own explanations. And therefore, even if the Torah had not explicated this logic, this reasoning of Ki Yosir as Bincha Me'achorai, we would have come up with that logic on our own. The Torah didn't have to spell it out. And therefore, when the Torah spells it out, we derive conclusions from that. It's a ribui. So again, we would have said that logically, with regard to the Isur, it applies to Shiva Amim. The Shiva Amim were dedicated totally to Avodah Zorah. And therefore, if you marry into Avodah Zorah, clearly the children will be Husar, Husru Miachori Hashem. And therefore, the Torah did not have to spell this out and write the Tam. And the answer is, the Mesirin Me'achori Hashem, this is a ribui, to tell me beyond the seven nations that are dedicated exclusively to Avodah Zorah, that even with regard to Shar Umos HaOlam, even though they're not on the same level of Mesirin as the Shivas HaAminim, they're also included in this Pasuk of Lotus Chatein Bom. El Rabbonon, but according to Rabbonon that say that with regard to mitzvahs, when the Torah doesn't spell out the reasoning, we don't have the ability to give time in the craw, the Torah therefore has to explain in very explicit words exactly why you're not allowed to marry in the Shiva Amamin, and that's because of the Hasara Me'achori Hashem, and therefore we don't have any Yitur the craw. There's no justification for a ribui, and it cannot be a source for Shar Amamim. My timer. So what's the source for the din of Shar Umos beyond the seven nations? And the Gemara says that we have a source that there's no Tfisas Kedushin B'Shar Amamim, Omar Kra, from the Pasuk in the Parsha of Eshes Yifas Tor. You go out to war, you go out to battle, and you take an Eishes Yifas Torah as captive. V'achre chen tovo aleha ubialto v'isolichol isha. It's implying here that after the entire process of gerus that this woman, this Eishes Yifas Torah undergoes, then is v'isolichol isha mechlal to make kara before her gerus, is then she cannot be l'choli ish lo tafsi bo kiddushin. And the din of Eishes Yifas Tor, which is formulated by the Torah in the context of a melchemes rishus, meaning when Klal Yisrael go out to battle against Shar Umos, not against the Zion Amamin. And nevertheless, the Torah says that before the gerus is ein tfisas kiddushin. Ashkenazi the Gemara says lo tafsi bo Kiddushin. We understand very well that you cannot create Kiddushin that's valid with a woman from the other nations. But Vlada Kimosa Minolan, how do we know that the Vlad is a guy like his mother? Omar Kro Kisiena Leish, in the same parsha it says Kisiena, again, Siena, Havaya is always a Loshan of Kiddushin. achasahu v'achasum v'yoldu lo bonim. And we dash in these words, v'yoldu lo, kol hecha de karina be ki siyena, karina be v'yoldu bo. Ki siyena means kiddushin. Whenever there is valid kiddushin tofsin, then it's considered v'yoldu lo. Lo means the father, b'loshin zocher, is the vlad is miyuchas to the father. When there is tfisas kiddushin v'hol hecha de lo karina be ki tiyena, whenever there is no ki tiyena, there is no tfisas kiddushin, which means that no one could be married to this woman, is lo karinin be v'yoldu lo, the children that come from this relationship are not lo, they're not miyuchas to the father, but rather to their non-Jewish mother. So we have two halachas here. Number one, when a Jewish man marries a non-Jewish woman, there's no tefisas kedusha. Number two, the child is not Jewish because he's miyuchas to his mother. Ihachi shivcha nami. If this pasuk is teaching us a general halacha that whenever there's no tefisas kedusha, the children are miyuchas to their mother, then what about the vlad of a shivcha? He too should be miyuchas to his mother because there's no tefisas kedusha by shivcha. And we should derive from this pasuk that the child is an eved kenani. Correct? Now we had, if you remember back on Samaches Amud Aleph, we had a drasha from the pasuk Shmulachem Poem Achamor. And that taught us that the child of a shivcha is an eved kenani. Why then do we need this pasuk of ha'isha v'yoladeh tiel ladoneha, which is brought again back on Samaches Samet Aleph? And that pasuk was teaching us the status of the vlad of a shivcha. Eino chinami. The Gemara says the vlad of a shivcha that has the status of his mother, the Shivcha, we derive from the pasuk ki siyena v'yoldu lo in the parasha of Eishes Yifas Toar. Ella, what about the pasuk isha v'yoladeha tiel adoneha? Lomeli, why do I need that pasuk? I don't need it to teach me that the vlad of a Shivcha is kimosa, but rather look at a sanya for a din that's derived from in a brisa. And here we're on Samachtes Amud Aleph. Ha'omer l'shivchaso, harei at bas chorin. If a man is meshacher his shivcha, v'vladech eved, but let the children that you have remain avodim, can he make such a condition in the shichur? Is no. Havlad kamosa, the shichur is chal, not only vis-a-vis the mother, the shivcha, but also vis-a-vis the children. And the t'nai that he made is not valid. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Agli, v'chachomim omrim, dvorav kayomim, he can make such a t'nai. And when he's meshacher her, the vlad remains an eved. Mishum she'nemar, the chachom derived from the pasuk, isha v'yiladeha tia ladoneha. And that pasuk is quoted now to support the shitas chachomim. And the Gemara says now, my Talmudah, how could the Chachamim derive it from this pasuk that the Adon, the master, the owner of the Shivcha, can be Meshacher, the mother, and still retain ownership on the Vlad? Amar Rava says, Ad Rabbi Yossi Haglili, but rather this drasha of Ha'isha V'yaladeha Tiel Adoneha is a drasha not as a brisa, the sofa brisa, meaning that it's referring to Chacham, but rather it's going back to the beginning of the brisa, to the sheet of the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, that the Adon could not make such an Eved. He cannot be Meshacher, the mother, and retain ownership over the child, over the Eved. And the reason for it is because the Pasuk says, Ha'isha v'yoladeha tiyeh ladoneha, which means that as long as the Shivcha is ladoneha, then the Vlad is also considered an Eved to the Adon. But if the mother is no longer Shivcha, then the Vlad is no longer considered an Eved. In other words, my Talmudah, what the Gemara was bothered by, is that the Chachamim don't have any valid derivation, any source, logically, from this Pasuk, Isha v'yiladeha tia ladoneha, to teach you that the child still remains an Eved, because this Pasuk implies that the Isha v'yiladeha, they both have the same status, according to Chachamim Adarabba. The Chacham want to establish a new halacha that you can split and differentiate between the status of the mother and the status of the vlad. And this pasuk says, "Ha'isha v'yiladeha." They both have the same status. Therefore, the Gemara concludes, Rava's point is that it's more logical to assume that the derivation from the pasuk "Isha v'yiladeha" reflects the shita of Rabbi Yossi, that you cannot split between the mother and the child. "Ha'isha v'yiladeha tia ladoneha." They both go together with the same identical status, and if the Isha is not a Shivcha, then the Vlad is no longer an Eved. And now we're ready for the last Mishnah in Perek HaOmer. The previous Mishnah had established the Klolim of Yuchsin, and which Bia Savera would generate Mamzerus. And the din of a mamzer is iser kohol, which is lo ulizaro achrov. It means that the mamzer and all his offspring are not allowed to marry Yisraelim ksherim. The Torah says lo yovo mamzer bekal Hashem gam dor asiri lo yovo lo bekal Hashem. And the Mishnah is now going to explain whether or not the mamzer has any possibility of being mitaris zaro, meaning to undermine and negate the status of mamzerus. Is there any takona for a mamzer? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, yecholim mamzerim litoyer. There is a possibility for the mamzerim whose children are posel to be mitaris themselves in such a way that their children will not be mamzerim. How could a mamzer do such a thing? Ketzad? Rabbi Tarfon explains, mamzer shenosa shivcha. If a mamzer marries a shivcha knanis, is then the vlad is an evet. We say that the vlad in a relationship between a Yisrael and a shivcha is miyuchas li'imo, which means that just like his mother is not a full-fledged Jewess, I mean, she has the status of a Shivcha Knas, so too, the Vlad has the same status. Now, whether or not a Mamzer is allowed to marry Shivcha Knas, that's going to be a diun in the Gemara. But be that as it may, if he went ahead and he married a Shivcha Knas, the Vlad is an Eved. Okay, so what? Shicharo, now if the Adon is Meshachar the Eved, is Nimtza Ben Ben Chorin. Now the status of the Ben is that of an Eved HaMeshtachrer, who has the status of a Ger, and he's allowed to marry a Jewish woman. So we've removed the Psul of Mamzerus. Rabbi Lezer Omer, he disagrees. This Takon is not meaningful. Hareza Eved U Mamzer. That there's a double yichus here with regard to this child of the Shivcha. On the one hand, the child picks up the yichus of his mother and Echinami, he's an Eved. That's undeniable. But at the same time, the child is miyuchas li'aviv, who's a mamzer, so that even after the Adon would be meshachar this Eved, the Eved would remain a mamzer. And this din of Mamzerus is only applicable to Yisrael. So now we have a Vlad who has a din of Eved because of his mother's a Shivcha, and yet he also at the same time has some sort of a din of Yisrael because of his father, and that status as Yisrael because of his father, says Rabbi Eliezer, engenders the din of Mamzerus. If he was a total non-Jew, there would be no din of Mamzerus. The whole psul and category of Mamzerus is only shayach to a Jew. The Gemara says, Iboilehu, Rabbi Tarfon. L'chatchila komar, does Rabbi Tarfon allow a mamzer to marry a shivcha knanis? A Yisrael kosher is not allowed to marry a shivcha knanis, lo siya kodesh mibnei Yisrael. Is Rabbi Tarfon assuming that this isur does not apply to a mamzer? In other words, the isur of marrying a shivcha, which is derived from the pasuk lo siya kodesh mibnei Yisrael, applies to someone who has a full-fledged status as in Yuchsin, and therefore lo yeh kodesh mibnei Yisrael. But a mamzer who's not really bnei Yisrael because he's an iser kol, he's not allowed to marry into kol Yisrael if he's not included under bnei Yisrael. Therefore lo yeh kodesh, the iser that enjoins the Yisrael from marrying a shivcha does not apply. Oh, or rather, maybe that's not exactly what Rabbi Tarfon had in mind, but the Eved Ka'omar. If the Mamzer goes ahead and marries a Shivcha, the children are not Mamzer, L'chatchila he's not allowed to marry a Shivcha, but if he went ahead and he did so, then he would be Matir, and there would be a Takona. Of course, it's a little bit strange to say that Rabbi Tarfon is talking about B'dieved. The language of Rabbi Tarfon, Yecholim Mamzerim L'Toyer, would seem to indicate that this is a process that he could undergo to be Matir himself. So that's a bit strange. In any event, the Gemara says, Toshma, I'll prove it to you from a Braisa, Omru Lo, the Chacham said L'Rabbi Tarfon, with regard to your statement, that a mamzer could marry a shivcha, tiharta es hazchorim velo tiharta es hanekevos. If there are males from this marriage relation between the mamzer and the shivcha, they can become tahorim. But you haven't affected any sort of pure rectification with regard to the female children. In other words, since there's an Iser Nesuin in these cases, then only the Mamzer Zachar can go to a place where nobody knows him, nobody recognizes him. He can claim he's an Eved, and he can get married to a Shivcha, so he has a Takon. But let's say a Mamzeres, how is she going to marry an Eved? What, is she going to go to some place and nobody knows about it, and she's going to secretly present herself as a shivcha? That's kind of way out. So the Gemara says on this comment, "I amrit lechatchila kamar." If Rabbi Tarfon is assuming that a mamzer has no iser in marrying a shivcha, is Mamzeres Nami Tinsov Liovda, then a Mamzeres should certainly be allowed to marry an Eved. Why do we need all these, you know, tachbulos, all these ways of going to a place where no one knows you? So the Gemara now rejects this. And the Gemara says, now it's possible that Rabbi Tarfon holds that even L'chatchila, you're allowed to marry, the Mamzer is allowed to marry a Shivcha, and a Mamzeres would be allowed to marry an Eved. And we have to reinterpret the Chachamim. The Chachamim don't mean to say that you have to do all these tachbulos and a mamzeres to get married to an Eved is something that's very hard to pull off. But rather, the Chachamim mean that a mamzeres who marries an Eved is the children of that marriage will be mamzerim like her. Why? Because Eved ain't lo chayis. In other words, when she, the Mamzeres, marries an Eved, there's no yuchsin to an Eved. The Torah compares an Eved to a chamor in the pasuk Shvulachem Poem Achamor Amadam Hadom El Chamor, and therefore there's no yichus to an Eved. If a Mamzer, who is a male, marries a Shivcha Knanis, then there is a yichus to the mother, to the Shivcha Knanis, and therefore the child is an Eved. And then he could be Mizgayer, and he could marry a Bas Yisrael. That's in the case of a male who marries a Shivcha Knanis. Why? Because if you remember, back on Daf Samachesam and Beis, we had a drasha from the Pasuk Isha V'Yoladeh Tiel Adoneha, that the Vlad of a Shivcha is an Eved, like his mother who's a Shivcha. But in the reverse case, where it is the Mamzeres who's marrying an Eved, there's no Yichus to the father of the Eved because of the Halacha of Am Adom El Chamor, that an Eved has no Yichus. The Gemara now quotes a Raya for the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon, if you understand him as saying that a Mamzer is allowed to marry a Shivcha, even L'chatchila, Toshma, we have a story here of Ushpizichne de Rav Simloi, meaning there was a guest of Rav Simloi, Mamzer Havi was a Mamzer, Viomale, and Rav Simloi said, Iak demetecha tiartinua levanecha. In other words, this Oreach, who was a Mamzer, was already married. And obviously, in such a case, the children are going to be Mamzerim. And Rabbi Simloi told him that if I had known you, if you were a friend of mine before you got married, then I could have given you a pretty good recommendation, an Eitzah Tova, to be Metayer your children. And that is, I would have told you to marry a Shivcha. So the Gemara says, what do you mean he could have given him an Eitzah? That only makes sense if a Mamzer is allowed to marry a Shivcha. If a Mamzer is not allowed to marry a Shivcha, and Rabbi Tarfon was only talking about B'di'eved, my new, what kind of an Eitzah would he have given to this Oreach, this Mamzer, to be Metayer Zera? How can you recommend someone to do something that would violate the Iser? So it seems that Rav Simloi certainly understood that according to Rabbi Tarfon, a Mamzer is allowed to marry a Shivcha. And the Gemara answers, no, you misunderstood Rabbi Simloi. Demansivle Eitzah, V'omerle zil gnov v'izdaban b'yevet ivri. What Rabbi Simloi wanted to recommend to him was, you know how you can marry a Shivcha? You can go ahead and steal zil gnov v'izdaban b'yevet ivri. And the law is that if you don't have money to pay your gneva, then you'll be sold as an Eved Ivri. This Mamzer could become an Eved Ivri. Why can't a Mamzer become an Eved Ivri? So if a Ganav doesn't have enough to pay, the Torah says, Main lo benimkar b'gneva, so he's sold as an Eved Ivri. And the halach is that an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry a Shivcha Knanis. And that's a Gemara that we learned back on Daf Yudalim and Beis, that an Eved Ivri who sold because of his gneva, the Torah says, Madonav yiten lo isha, v'yoldu lo bonim o bono sa'isha v'yoldeh tia ladonev, v'hu yetze begapo. And from that pasuk we learn that an Eved Ivri is allowed to marry a Shivcha Knanis. So the Gemara says, that's a little bit odd. Okay, so wait a minute, let's just finish up. So the Gemara says that if he becomes an Eved Ivri and he marries a Shivcha Knanis, which he's allowed to marry, the children of such a marriage are Avodim Knanim, and then when they receive Shichra, they have the din of Yisraelim Ksherim, according to Rabbi Tarfon, and not Mamzerim. So why didn't the Gemara stand up and object? Well, Gneva is also Asur. Would Rabbi Simloi give an eitz of a person to steal something and violate the Isur Gneva? Perhaps the Gemara thought that that question could be answered because maybe Rabbi Simloi holds like Rabbi Eliezer back on Yudalanum and Beis that a mocher atzmo mutter b'shivcha knanis, that even if he sells himself, not the case where he sold the Gnevasa by Bezdin because he can't pay back the Gneva. He still has the status of an Eved Ivri, and therefore he's allowed to marry a Shivcha Knanis. The Tosa Rosh here says that this Mamzer was Motzi Adam Yisrael Sheyaskim Sheyigno Bimenu Mamet, would be able to find some Jew that would allow him, for the purpose of being Matari Zera, marrying a Shivcha Knan, etc., to steal from him. Now that's a little bit odd, because Lechora, if I allow you to steal from me, that's a Mechila. I don't know if you would have to pay for such Gnefa. Apparently, such a situation would be a partial mechila, maybe on the Averis Maisa Gneva, but he still retains rights to collect the Gneva. I don't know. You have to learn the Sugis and Bava Kama for that. The Tosus Rid says that if a person has in mind to pay back, in other words, he's telling him steal and pay back, and if he can't pay back, you'll be sold as an Eved, that's not an Isa Gneva. In other words, that there's a precondition in Gneva that you have Kavana to steal for the sake of stealing, but here he's stealing for the sake of being Matira Zera. In any event, the Pshat of the Tosus of Rashi here is that he would be selling himself without Gneva, but the language of Gnov, when he says Zil Gnov, that's a little bit difficult to say that he's just selling himself as an Eved Ivri. So the Gemara says the following: Uvishnei Dirabi Simloi Eved Ivri Mi Hava. The assumption here is that during the period of time in which Rav Simloi lived, there was a possibility of being Noeg Din Eved Ivri, and Bezdin would sell a Jew as an Eved Ivri, and that's difficult. For Amar Mar, the Brisa says, and this is quoted in Masechta Erchin, Ein din Eved Ivri noeg ela bizman shayovel noeg. The Torah says in the parasha of Eved Ivri, Ad shnas hayovel yavod imach, the Eved Ivri works until the Yovel. And that means that Eved Ivri and all the dinim apply when there is a Yovel. Now, after the time of Sancheirev, when they terminated, when they ceased counting Yovlos, there was no din of Yovel anymore. That's a sugya in Gittin on Daf Lamed Vav. So when Sancheirev was Higla, Shevet Ruvain, Shevet Gad, Chatzi Shevet Asher, at that point they stopped counting the Yovlos, because the Torah says in the parasha that we're going to read in Yitzchem the Shabbos v'karosem dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha yovel hi tielachem, and the Chachamim darshin kol yoshveha of Eretz Yisrael, meaning all the Shvatim have to be in Eretz Yisrael. That's when the din of Noeg v'karosem dror ba'aretz is Noeg. And if that be the case, then at the time of Rav Simloi, for sure, which was after the Gol Sancheirev, there was no din of Yovel. Rav Simloi was after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the second bias. There was no longer a din of Yovel. So how could he recommend this Mamzer to sell himself and therefore become, to steal and therefore be sold as an Eved Ivri? So now the Gemara comes back and says no. Let's go back to our original pshat, that Rav Simloi's intention was to recommend that he marry a Shivcha. Elav Shmamina, Rabbi Tarfon Lechatchilu Komar Shmamina. It means that Rabbi Simloi certainly understood that according to Rabbi Tarfon, a mamzer is allowed to marry a Shivcha. And Rabbi Eliezer, in our Mishnah, does not accept Rabbi Tarfon. And the reason for that is because, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Harei Zeh Eved V'Mamzer. In other words, the child of this marriage between a Mamzer and a Shivcha picks up the Pagam of his father, according to Rabbi Eliezer. not only the status of his mother as an Eved, but also the status of his father as a Mamzer. Omar Rav Yehuda Rishmuel Halacha Kirabi Tarfon, that the Vlad of the Mamzer who marries a Shivcha is an Eved, but not a Mamzer, and therefore after Shichur, he can marry a Bas Yisrael. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, Omer, Hareza Eved Mamzer. The Gemara wants to explain now the logic of Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Eliezer, why he disagrees with Rabbi Tarfon and insists that the Vlad is both an Eved and a Mamzer. Omer, Rabbi Lozer, my Taima to Rabbi Eliezer. So the Amora, Rabbi Lozer, is explaining the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, that the Vlad is Miuchas not only to his mother, who's a Shivcha, and therefore he's an Eved, but also to his father, who's a Mamzer. The Omar Kro in the Parsha of Mamzer, where it says, in Kiteitse Gam Dora Sirilo Yovel Lo, Bekal Hashem, emphasize the word Lo, Yovel Lo, which means that the Mamzer will stretch, so to speak, stretch the psul of Mamzerus to his descendants, to his children and the generations to come, is halach achar psulo. In other words, what the Torah is saying by Yovel Lo is that the psul of Mamzerus is carried on, and the Vlad is always going to be miyuchas to the Mamzer, whoever the Mamzer is, whether it's he or she, to the father or the mother. So therefore, even the Vlad of a Shivcha, insofar as the father is a Mamzer, the Vlad is giving miyuchas to the father because of this halach achar psulo, halach that's derived from Yovo Lo. And the Gemara now wants to understand, how does Rabbi Tarfon, on the other hand, explain the word lo? V'rabbanan, which is a reference here in this case to Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that the Vlad of the Eved, the Vlad who is an Eved, is not considered a Mamzer. What does he do with this drasha of Yovo Lo? Lo Yovo Lo. Hahu, that pasuk, the Yisrael Shenosa Mamzeres, is referring to the case of a male, a Jew, who marries a Mamzeres, which of course he's not allowed to do. Salka Daitachamino, I would have thought that in such a case, the Vlad is Miyuchas Li'aviv, the father is a kosher, because L'mishpachosom L'beis Avosom K'siv, the Torah at the beginning of Bamidbar tells us that a child is Miyuchas to his father, is therefore also lo, the pasuk of lo yovelo comes to teach us in the parish of Mamzer, afke, the Torah is taking the din of the Vlad, in the case of a Mamzeres, the child of a Mamzeres, from the din of other Vlados. In other words, when does the Mishpachosom Lebeis Avosom Halach apply? That's only if both parents are ksherim, then the Vlad is miyuchas to the father. But this Vlad, whose mother is a psula, is then, the Vlad is miyuchas to his mother. She's a mamzeres, and the Vlad has the status of a mamzer like the mother. But that pasuk doesn't apply to the case of a marriage between a mamzer and a shivcha, where the Vlad has the status of his mother. And the pasuk here is not meant to teach us that the vlad of this marriage between a mamzer and a shivcha should be miyuchas li'aviv, as Rabbi Eliezer would understand it, and is a mamzer. The Gemara now wants to clarify the drasha, the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that he derives from this pasuk that the vlad of a mamzer who's married to a shivcha is miyuchas to the father, and he's a mamzer. The pasuk here is needed for another halacha, to teach us that Yisrael, who marries a mamzeres, the Vlad is a mamzer, kamosa. Rabbi Eliezer, what is he, when he brought this pasuk as a proof, is lav afalgav de kosav. Isn't it true that the pasuk says l'mishpachosom l'beis avosom? And in the case of a yichus situation between Yisrael and Ksherim. The Torah says that the vlad is miyuchas to his father, is nevertheless asa, the pasuk of Yavo Lo comes the afke, which mean, what does the afke mean here? Afke means lahotzi, right, to take it out of a certain assumption, that in the case of a Yisrael who marries a mamzeres, the vlad is a mamzer ki'imo, is hachinami here too, in the case of a marriage between a shivcha, between a mamzer and a shivcha, is afagav dechsiv, ha'isha v'yoladeha tiel adoneha, from which we learn that the vlad is miyuchas to his mother, right? Ha'isha v'yoladeha, they have the same status, the same yichus, and not to the father, is also, the pasuk says, yavo lo v'afke, and it takes this case of a marriage, the vlad who's born to a marriage between a mamzer and a shivcha, and it takes it out of the general klal to teach us that there's also a yichus to the father. So in other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the word lo here has come to be marbeh, that we continue mamzerus to the next generation. And the chiddush is lafuke, that was the word viafke. And that viafke, to teach us that mamzerus continues to the next generation, has a double meaning. In other words, it has two halachic repercussions or implications. Number one, we have the principle of yichus to the father, which is derived from mishpachosom beis havosom. And in the case of Yisrael Shanasa Mamzeris, the Torah of the Afke in the word Yavol Lo has come to be Mamshich Mamzeris, that even though, as a general rule, the Vlad is Miyuchasli of Ivlu Mishpachos LeBeis Avosim, but that's only when there's no Mamzeris involved. If there's an issue of Mamzeris, for example, the Yisrael marries Mamzeris, the Afke, the Torah says no. Instead of being miyuchas to the father, the vlad is miyuchas to the mother, who's a mamzeris, and he's a mamzer. So we're being low, we're being mamshich mamzeris. And so too, this pasuk of lo, halach achar psula, which is extending the psul, will apply to be mafke, to undermine the normal principle of aisha v'yoladeh tiel adoneha, which means that the vlad is miyaches to the mother, which means that the vlad of a mamzer with a shivcha should be a shivcha, which means an eved in this case. And the Torah is saying that tiel adoneha, that ha'isha v'yoladeha, that the vlad has the same status as the mother. That's the normal rule of a vlad shivcha. But in this case, where there's an admixture of mamzeris, because the father is a mamzer, is the Torah says yovel lo v'afke, meaning to lafkia, meaning to undermine the normal principle of the vlad of a shivcha that's miyuchas to his mother because of Aisha Vyoladeo. On the contrary, we want to be Mamshich Mamzerus from, in this case, the father. And that's Rabbi Lezer Shita, that the vlad of a marriage relationship between a mamzer and a shivcha is indeed a mamzer because halach acher psula. But the Rabbanan, on the other hand, which means Rabbi Tarfon again in this case, is of the opinion that you cannot equate the vlad of a shivcha to the vlad of a Yisraelis. Kol vlad b'mei shivcha knanis kivlad b'mei behemadami. Rabbi Tarfon is countering, he's arguing against Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, you're making an analogy between the following two cases. The case of Yisrael who marries a mamzeres, and the case of a mamzer who marries a shivcha. Says Rabbi Tarfon, there's a fundamental difference between these two cases. You're right. If you want to establish that if the mother is a mamzeres, the case of Yisrael shenasa mamzeres, the child is a mamzer and he's miyuchas to imo, that's fine. Because that's a vlad of Yisraelis. Again, she's a mamzeres, but nevertheless she's a Yisraelis. And therefore the laws of yuchsin kick in. In this case, the vlad picks up the mamzerus of his mother. And the mamzerus is extended under the halach of yavol lo, of halach achar psula. But that's because the mother is the Yisraelis. and therefore you can extend that mamzeris from the mother onwards. But that has nothing to do with the case of a mamzer who marries a shivcha. In the case of a mamzer who marries a shivcha, the vlad is the vlad of a shivcha. And the vlad of a shivcha is a different halach entirely. Because the vlad in the... And again, the Rashba points out already that there's a drasha for this. But the drasha is telling me that the vlad, b'mei shivcha, is kivlad b'meye behemadami. Imagine the case of a vlad inside a behema. Clearly in that case, the vlad of behema has no yichus to his parents, his father, for sure not, right? So here for the vlad of a shivcha cannot have any yichus to his father because of this halach, this principle of vlad b'mei shivcha knanis ki vlad b'mei behema domi. As a result of this, says Rabbi Tarfon, in the case of a mamzer who marries a shivcha, there could be no yichus of the vlad to the father who's a mamzer because it's k'mei behema domi. A vlad of behema has no shaychus to his father, and so too the vlad of a shivcha has no yichus to the father who's a mamzer. And with that, we conclude Perek HaOmer, and we begin Perek Asori Yuchsin. This is the last Perek of Masechta Kiddushin, and it has many, many different parts. The first part of this Perek is a continuation of the last Perek of HaOmer, what we learned about Yuchsin, and it gives us a list of all the Yuchsin B'Yisrael, who's allowed to get married and who's not allowed to get married. Later on, the Mishnayos in this Perek Asori Yuchsin are going to shift to a different topic entirely, and that's the question of someone whose yichus is unclear. We don't know exactly who his parents were, etc., etc. How do we bodek? How do we assume this or assume that? You know, what are the chazakas that would apply? Is he a cheskes kashrus? And he doesn't need bedika, or maybe he doesn't have a cheskes kashrus and needs bedika. And then the Mishnais are going to shift to the topic of kahuna. What are the special, unique laws of Yuchsin with regard to kahuna? The Gemara then is going to talk about an entirely different topic, namely, Adam Neman al Bino, is a father granted special nemanus to testify either lakashus or lapsul of his son? Under what conditions is he not believed and he doesn't have that special credibility? The Gemara is going to go back at the end of this perek to issues that are more general in Masechta Kiddushin, various sveikas in Kiddushin, and finally the Isur Yichud with Arayas at the end of the Masechta. So our Mishnah now is going to give us a list of Asura, of 10 different categories of Yuchsin B'Yisrael, and if they're allowed to marry one into the other Asura Yuchsin, there are 10 different Mishpachos B'Yisrael. And the word Yuchsin here, as explained by the Rishonim, is not exactly the same as what it means in other places in Shas, but rather to mine mishpacha. So we're not talking about yuchsin in terms of psulei kol right now, we're talking about mine mishpacha. For example, the Gemara talks here, the Mishnah talks here, about the aliyah shniyah, which means when Ezra came from Bavel to establish the second commonwealth in Eretz Yisrael, he came together with 10 categories of mishpachos. And this is at the time of the Golus of Zerubbabel, during the reign of Koresh. This was the 70 years from Golus Yehuda to Bavel at the time of Yoyakum. And at the end of this 70-year period after the Churban of the first Bayis, Ezra HaSofer came up in the 70th year and he established the new community in Eretz Yisrael. And this was 23 years after the Aliyah of Zerubbabel. And it's 1 year after they established the Beis HaMikdash. So just to simplify it, from the time of Golus Yehuda to Bavel until the Aliyah of the Golus with Zerubbabel was a period of 70 years. The Binyan Beis HaMikdash took place 18 years later, after the Aliyah of the Golim together with Zerubbabel. An 18-year period passed. And at that point, after that 18 years, there was a full 70 years since the Churban Bayis Rishon. And then 5 years later, which is 23 years after the Aliyah of Zerubbabel, that's when Ezra Sofer came to Eretz Yisrael. That means they had already built the Beis HaMikdash. Why was it that Ezra Sofer did not come earlier? Why did he delay? And he could have come at the time of the Aliyah with Zerubbabel. So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah, he wasn't part of the group of those who built the Beis HaMikdash because he was busy with his Rebbe Baruch Ben Neria in Bavel, and he was learning Torah and teaching Torah. Talmud Torah is greater than Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says in Megillah. Baruch Ben Neria himself did not come to Eretz Yisrael. He was already an older person. He was too weak. He couldn't make the trip. And as soon as Baruch Ben Neria died, and Ezra no longer had his Rebbe in Bavel, at that point, he went to Eretz Yisrael. And together with him, with his Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, which again, please keep in mind, was 23 years after the Aliyah of Zerubbabel, which was in turn 70 years after the Golus of Yehuda, at that point, there were 10 Mine Mishpachos, 10 categories of families that came together with him. They came together with him from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and they were Kane, Levie, the Israeli. There were amongst them Chalole, which means Kohanim Chalolim, that they no longer had Kedushas Kahuna. They were born out of a Psul Kahuna, marriage of Psul Kahuna. Gere, there were Gerim, there were Charure. Charure is a reference to an Eved Knani who received a Get Shichrur from his Adon. There were Mamzere. There were those who were born out of a Bias Iser of Chayve Krisus. There were Nesine, those who were the Givonim, that converted at the time of Yoshua. David HaMelech instituted Gzera, that they're not allowed to marry into the people of Israel. And then there were Shtuke Vasufe. These were Safek Mamzerim, which the Mishnah is going to clarify as it goes along. And Bekitzer, what we have here is that the Aliyah of Eretz Yisrael brought with it a very interesting kind of Jewish community that was made up of many different types and different categories. The Mishnah continues and establishes that Kohani Leviv Yisrael Mutarim Lavo Bezebezeh. The Mishpachos, Ksheros, could marry, whether they were Kohanim, Levi, Yisrael, into each other, into marriage. Levi, Yisraele, Chalole, Gere v'charure mutarim lovo zebazeh. It means that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Cholol, but a Levi or a Yisrael is allowed to marry a Cholol. Now what happens if you have a Ger? So you'll notice that the Kohanim are excluded from this list that permits marriage to a Ger. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Ger, or Gioris we should say. And the reason for that is because the Gioris also has the status of Psul Kahuna. You'll notice here that a Yisrael and a Levi is allowed to marry a Charure, an Eved Mishtachrer, but a Kohen is not allowed to marry an Eved Mishtachrer, a Shifcha Shenishtachra, and that's because of the din of Zona that applies not only to Gioris, but also to a Shifcha Meshuchreres. She too has the status of a Gioris and the Bechezkas Zona. So the Iser of Gioris to a Kohen is because of Cheskas Zinsa. And it could be possible that if we have clarification and evidence beyond the shadow of a doubt that there was no Znus, then Eichinami, the Kohen, could marry her. That a Gioris is Asura because of Nivola Le Nachri. And Bias Akum Poselis Le Kuhuna. And if you take a look in Eben Ezra, Simon Vav, you'll see that that's how the Beit Shmuel understands the Sheet of Rashi. The Rosh in the Masechta Yevamos and the Rambam in Isuri Bir Perek Yud Ches have a different opinion. And they hold that a Gioris has the status of a Zona ipso facto, automatically, unconditionally, even if we were to know that she didn't have Znus. And there's a separate Chalos Shem Zona that applies to the Umos HaOlam, even if lo nivala, and therefore after Gerus, she retains that status of nivala l'nachri, even if we know that she wasn't nivala l'nachri, it has a din of Akum and a din of Zona that's generated in the case of a Gioris by the fact that she was a member of the nations of the world. And the Nafkamina is going to be, for example, in a case of a Gioris p'chusam iv gimel shanim. According to Rashi, the way the Beit Shmuel understands it, she'd be allowed to marry a Kohen because there was no Znus. She's not a Bas Bia if she's less than Gimel Shonim when the Geirus took place. But according to the Sheet of the Rosh and the Rambam, she would be Asura LeKohen. Every Gioris is Asura LeKohen, even if we know that there was no Znus. The Mishnah continues, Gerei V'charure mamzere unesine shsuke vasufi kulam mutarim lovo zebaze. In other words, even though a mamzer is also lovo bekahal, the Torah says lo yovo mamzer bekal Hashem, nevertheless, according to our Mishnah, a mamzer is allowed to marry gerim and a shivcha meshuchreres, because those are not called kahal. So the Iser of Mamzer to come into the Kahal only applies to the Miyuchasim, but not to Gerim and Meshuchrorim. The Mamzer is allowed to marry a Shtuki and a Sufi because those are Sufik Mamzerim. And when the Torah says, Lo Yovo Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, that's only Kahal Vadai. A Kahal Vadai means Ksherim and Miyuchasim Vadoim. But the Iser of Mamzer does not apply to a Safek Kohol. And now the Mishnah explains, V'eluhem, what's the case of a Shtuki and a Sufi that were mentioned amongst the Asar Yuchsin? Ishtuki is Kol Shehu Makir Es Imo, V'eno Makir Es Aviv. In other words, a woman who had znus and she became pregnant from that znus, we don't know who the father is, that's called a shtuki. And the word shtuki means that if you say to such a person, Ploni Abba, so and so was your father, and Imo Mishaskoso, Rashi says over here. And basically the mother refuses to identify the father, the Boel. And that's called Mishaskaso Shtuki. Asufi, the Mishnah says, Kol Shenesaf Minashuk, we find a baby that was left abandoned. And the assumption is that because he was a mamzi, he was an apostle, the mother put him out in the marketplace, so to speak, out in Hefker. And this also, I mean, another stipulation that we have to add here is that this happened Karav Lulei Doso, Shadayin Eno Modida. In other words, the baby doesn't move around. If he was a little bit more mature, then we assume he's a kosher. So if she left him abandoned at a very, very young age, he was a newborn baby, then he has the status of an asufi, he's nesaf min ashuk. And the reason for this is that it's generally assumed, darkan shel noshim izanos, a woman who gives birth to an apostle because she had an illicit relationship, so that woman will place her child out in the streets and abandon the child. She will not raise the child until he gets old enough to move around, to crawl and so forth and so on, but immediately as a newborn baby is nesaf min ashuk. The Mishnah says, "V'eino makir loes aviv, v'loes imo." He has no clue who his father is or who his mother is. So, in the case of an asufi, at least we can identify. In the case of a shtuki, at least we can identify the mother. In the case of an asufi, we can't even identify the mother. However, abashol, the Mishnah says, "Oyakori l'shtuki biduki." In the case of a shtuki, we don't know the identity of the father. He used to use the language biduki. He holds that there is a meaningful process of bidika in which we can trust the mother to identify the boel, and if she says lakoshin ivalti, she can be machsha the child. So whereas the Tanakhama assumes that a shtuki, if we cannot identify the father, is automatically a psul kohol, he becomes what we call Sofek Kohol, and he's allowed to marry a Mamzer Mamzeres. According to Abishol, no. The status of a Shtuki is up in the air. We're going to check the mother. And if the mother identifies the father as a Kosher, she's believed. That's called Beduki. And he can marry, the child can marry into Klal Yisrael. The Gemara tells us, Asara Yuchsin Olu Mi Bavel Le'eretz Yisrael, my Iria Detani. Why did the Mishnah use the word Alu mi Bavel? Nisne Holchu li Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't you say that there were 10 families, 10 different categories of Yuchsin that came to Eretz Yisrael? In other words, the Gemara is asking the following question. The Mishnah wants to teach me the status of these Asar Yuchsin in Eretz Yisrael, that we have to be bodek each one and figure out if they're psulim or not psulim. Then the Mishnah didn't have to mention Olu le'Eretz Yisrael. That's not relevant. Is the Gemara says, Milsa agav urche kamashmalon. The Tana wants to tell me something on the side. Namely, Olu, which means that Eretz Yisrael is the highest of all the lands, Kidisanya, the Kamto vel Lisa la Mokam Shayivcha Hashem Elokecha. When you have a question of din, ki polim chadovel mishpat, you go up to the Lishkas Hagadol, to the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the Beis HaGadol sat. And it says in the Pasuk, V'yolisa melamed she-Beis HaMikdash gavoh mikol Eretz Yisrael. So wherever you're coming from in Eretz Yisrael, you're going up to Yerushalayim, to the Lishkas Hagadol, to the Beis HaMikdash, V'yolisa. And not only that, Eretz Yisrael is gavoh mikol haratzos. So the Mishnah utilizes this phrase, Olu, to allude to the fact that when you go from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, it's called an Aliyah, because Eretz Yisrael is Gvoa Mikol Ha'arotos. The Kamta V'Alisa Malamed Shamokom Shal Beis HaMikdash Gvoa Mikol Eretz Yisrael. And that Eretz Yisrael is Gvoa Mikol Ha'arotos, that we derive from a different pasuk, and that we're going to see later on in the Gemara. there's a Tosus HaRosh here that asks the question, how does the Mishnah seem to indicate that Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the other lands? Maybe Gavoah here means only relative to Bavel, but that doesn't mean it's higher than all the lands. So the Tosus HaRosh answers, if Eretz Yisrael was only higher than Bavel and not from other lands, then it wouldn't have used the language Aliyah, because Gam, even from Shara Rotzas Hagola, this Pazushom Ol Eretz Yisrael, the Aliyah is not just from Bavel, it's from other lands as well. Of course, we speak about the Aliyah from Bavel because the Ikar, the main bulk of the Jewish people that came at the time of Ezra from the Golos, they came from Bavel. But there were people who came from other nations as well. So Gemara says, Bishlem Beis HaMikdash Gavoah Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Hainu Detziv. It says in the Pasuk, Divrei Rivos Bisharech V'kamto V'yol Lisa. Elosha Eretz Yisrael Gavoah Mikol Aratzos Minolon. How do we know that in fact Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the other nations, all the other countries in the world? Detziv the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, with regard to the ultimate Geula, Yirmiyah says, Lachain, Hine yomim ba'im nu mashem, lo yamer od chai Hashem asher helos b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, ki im chai Hashem asher helo, v'asher hevi es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Tzofon, u'michol ha'rotos, asher hidachtim sham. So the Pasuk says, asher helo me'eretz Tzofon, which means Bavel, and then it says, michol ha'rotos, to teach us that even when they go from all ha'rotos, it's helo, because Eretz Yisrael is gvoa, Mikol Harotos. There's a note here that Derech HaOlam Haya Lismoch Lazkar Hashem Hashem Dover Mimasov V'Niflosov, that when we mention the name of God, we also mention some of the wonders and the amazing things. And therefore, when you take a Shvua B'Chai Hashem, and you're mentioning the name of Hashem, then you say, Asher Helos B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. This is all part of Niflosov, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And the Novi wants to tell him that in Yomim Boim, that at the end of time, at the end of the Golos, and time of the ultimate Gula, they won't speak about Asher Hela, Mitzrayim, the great miracle of taking the people out of Mitzrayim, but rather Hela Mikol HaRotzos. And that's going to be the Yemos HaMashiach and Kibbutz Golios, as the Radak explains there in Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Now the Pasuk says, Asher Hevi es B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Tzofon. And the Mashmos of the Pasuk, V'asher Hevi, seems that there are lands that to which you would not apply the Lashon of Aliyah with regard relative to Eretz Yisrael. So how do you know that Eretz Yisrael is Gvoah Mikol HaRotzos? Asher Hevius B'nei Yisrael. That's a question. Poskett has said just Asher Hela, right, Mikol HaRotzos, fine, but it says Hevi. And some of the Achronim want to come to the conclusion based on this diuk that Eretz Yisrael is Gvoah from the Arotzos Shemisviva, the Arotzos that surround it, but not necessarily in relationship to other Arotzos, because with regard to those other Arotzos, the Pasuk says, Asher Hevi. In fact, in the Tshuvas of Chasam Sofer, it's very interesting, he says that Metzius, if you take in a geographic sense, you will find that there are lands on the face of the earth that are higher than Eretz Yisrael. And the Maharsha writes that what does the Gemara have in mind here? That since the world is domel etapuach, Eretz Yisrael, umakom ha-migdash heim merkazo shel olam, that since the globe is round and Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, is in the center of the universe, of the globe, I should say, therefore anything around it is considered lower than it. The sugya will continue with all sorts of diyukim to explain the Lashon HaMishnah, Mirtz Hashem, that will continue in the next shiur.